Dzień dobry.
Hello, welcome everyone to the conference presenting the results of Bank Zachodni WBK Group for the third quarter 2016. Eamon Crowley, CFO, is here with me, as well as Carlos Polaino, Head of Accounting and Financial Management, and Wojciech Skalski from the same division. My name is Agnieszka Dowżycka, and I'm Head of Investor Relations.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. Unfortunately, Jerry could not be present for the meeting today. He has another event to attend, so apologies about that. So I will bring you through the results for quarter three, and I'll talk about the business strategy, the business performance, and obviously the numbers as well, and how we performed. It's fair to say that quarter three has been a very solid quarter by way of its activity and by way of its results and the generation of core income. And I'll just bring you through the presentation now. So if we just turn to page number six, you will see that by way of growth in our balance sheet, loans have grown by 9% and deposits and overall funds by 11%. This is showing very strong growth in our balance sheet. If you look at loan growth in the sector, it's running about 4%. So we've actually outperformed the sector by way of loan growth year on year. And I would suggest that's quite good performance and highlights our positioning in the market and the strengthening of our brand and our activity. By way of active customers, we have 3.3 million active individual customers and 226,000 active companies, and that is an increase year on year as well. So this number is growing, activity is growing among our customer base, and we can see that in the numbers as we move through the presentation later on. And most importantly, by way of our transformation, our digital transformation, our commercial transformation, you can see that our digital customers are now 2 million customers. It's an increase of 7% year on year. And for mobile banking customers, we have now over 800,000 mobile banking customers, which is up 32% year on year. And again, I'll talk specifically about remote channels and how we're developing those later in the presentation. On slide seven, we have a picture of profitability. Our attributable profit for the first 3 months is 1.7 billion. That's a reduction of 17% year on year. When you strip out one-offs, so when you strip out the Aviva transaction and the Visa transaction, our attributable profit is down 10%. And when you strip out banking tax on a like-for-like basis, attributable profit is up 6%. So it's that key like-to-like or comparative number is important for us because it shows the underlying growth in the business and our income, as I say, up 6%. And most importantly is the switch to core revenue. So net interest income up 10%, and I'll bring you through the details of that in another slide. And fee income has contracted by 1%. However, the market itself is down between 6 and 8%. So we're performing quite well against the overall market, even though we see some contraction in fee income there. On balance sheet quality, NPL ratio 6.8%, and that's down from 8.1% year on year. And our cost of credit is running at an annualised 80 basis points, which is a reduction of 9 basis points year on year, and represents a level that is a fair level for our organisation based on the mix in our business. And I'll bring you through that detail as well shortly. And by way of capital position, we have a strong total capital ratio, 15.3%, and a core equity tier 1 of 14.9%. And you must remember that that is after we paid a dividend in May of 2016. So you can see that we have the ability both to pay dividends and generate capital as an organisation. That's something that will continue. On the next slide, slide 8, this really encapsulates by way of what I've just said, which is showing that on the right-hand side, the underlying position of the bank, excluding one-offs and the banking tax, you can see that gross income has increased by 3% on a like-for-like basis, net operating income up 5%, loan loss provisions, while they're up 2%, our book has grown by 10%. And our business has grown in that area, and, as I say, I'll give you more detail on that, and attributable profit up 6% on a like-for-like basis. By way of key ratios that we look at, return on equity 11.6%. When you strip out one-off items, it's 11.2%. When you look at it on a tangible equity perspective, so you look at it excluding goodwill that we carry, it's at around 14%. So these are all strong numbers, and against the overall market in Poland, these it shows a good return, except you can see a significant drop year on year, primarily caused by banking tax. So I'd suggest the overall banking sector ROE will be in single-digit levels. So we continue to outperform here, but at 11.6%, or around 11%, we want to increase that over time. It's our ambition to do that and to return to higher levels. Our liquidity position remains strong. I highlighted that our deposit performance grew, our deposits grew by 11%. Our loan deposit ratio consolidated is 95%. When you look at BZ Vubica standalone, it's at 89%, and we have outperformed the market by way of deposit growth in the year. And lastly, just to echo what I've just said on capital, our total capital ratio has increased from 13.9% to 15.3% year on year. And as I say, that incorporates the payment of a dividend in the year, together with the provision for future dividends in that capital ratio. By way of loan deposits, just to give you a high-level view here, retail deposits up 9% in the year, business deposits up 17%, and for the purpose of this slide, business deposits also includes SME customers. And SME customer deposits are up 13%. So, again, showing high level of interaction with customers and high growth in these segments. And on the loan side, retail loans up 8% and business loans up 11%. This next slide, which is slide number 11, this is a key slide because it's linked in a very connected way to our overall strategy. And what is our overall strategy? Our strategy is to be a customer-centric bank that is able to provide services in a seamless way across all channels. That's branch, internet, mobile, call centre, and through video connections to our agents, and our own advisors. So in that regard, what we're seeing here is that customers are demanding the ability to interact with the bank in a much more direct manner. As I mentioned, or as on the slide, our mobile customer base is up 32% to over 800,000. But on the bottom right, you'll see that our mobile transactions in quarter three was 3.5 million transactions. That has doubled in a year. So that's highlighting that the customers we have through that mobile channel are actually touching the bank, interacting with the bank in a much more fulsome way. And why are they doing that? Because we have an offer on mobile which is deemed to be first place in Poland and third place in Europe by way of the depth of what it offers the customer. The other item to mention there is the fact that one-fifth or 20% of all cash loans now are completed either through internet or mobile, and 20% of that 20% is just purely on the mobile channel. So in the last quarter, we launched what's called TeleClick, and that allows customers to complete loan documentation online. They don't have to visit a branch, they don't have to sign a piece of paper, they actually can do it on a mobile channel. The other thing I should note here is that we have an increasing level of pure mobile current accounts. So year to date, we've opened 25,000 accounts that are just on the mobile channel. So it's again showing significant interest from our customer base in having that approach and that connectivity. If I just move on to slide 13, to give you more details on the gross loan book, as mentioned, up 9%. The key message here is actually on the bottom right. You can see the growth across the various segments. Mortgage loan growth, 11%. But if you strip that out, zloty mortgages are up 27%. Swiss franc mortgages are down 7%. And that's based on normal capital repayment of our Swiss franc book. So in mortgages alone, we are capturing 16% of new sales in mortgages. So that's above our natural market share and is highlighting that we have a very competitive and customer-friendly offer with regard to mortgages. If I look at personal credit, and we group cash loans, credit cards and overdrafts together here, we're up 10%. SME activity up 13%, or loans. Corporate property and GCB up another 10%. So all these key segments that we focus on have performed quite well. And continue to perform well, albeit at a slower pace in quarter three than previous quarters. And lastly, Santander Consumer Bank, when you exclude its mortgage book, which is closed, its book is up 8%. So again, quite good performance by way of its production in the quarter and year to date. By way of deposits, I mentioned already the growth. I just want to highlight, and this is on slide 14, I want to highlight two aspects to this particular slide. One is the continuing trend of our customers to move from term deposit towards demand and savings. You can see in the quarter that demand and savings are up around 4-5% and term deposits are down 3%. In the year, it's up 20%. On demand and savings and a slight growth in term at 3%. What does that equate to? It equates to a 10 billion zloty shift into lower cost funding for the bank. We aren't forcing customers to do this. They're doing it because they're transacting more, they're using our current accounts more, they're using our savings account more, and they're becoming more loyal with regard to what we're offering. And this in turn is providing us with a more efficient funding base, but most importantly, a base of customers that are transacting and working with our bank to a greater extent. The second thing I'd mention here is funds under management. This is our ARCA asset management business. You can see that quarter on quarter, volumes up 4%, year on year up 2%, and year to date up 4%. So we are performing as good, if not better, than any other asset manager by way of our growth in assets. We have had quite good performance on our bond funds, particularly our corporate bond fund, and we're seeing a migration from lower income money market type funds into our corporate bond fund, together with attracting new money. So there's some positive perspective on the ARCA asset management business after a number of quarters of challenges. If I just turn to the next slide, which is slide 15, and here we have net interest income and net interest margin. Again, quite a positive story here. We have an increase in net interest income of 6% in the quarter, up 10% year on year. Together with an increase in net interest margin, we've calculated that their net interest margin has increased by 6 basis points. Similar to the previous quarter, it's split 50-50 between credit spread and funding. On credit spread and on funding, it's about mix. So it's about the fact that we're getting a better mix of lending on the loan side and a better mix of funding, given the movement to lower cost funding current accounts and savings accounts on the liability side. So good performance, up 6 basis points in the quarter, up 16 basis points year on year, and up 25 basis points versus the lowest quarter, which was quarter two, 2015. By way of net fees, as I mentioned, a 1% contraction year on year. However, a 3.5% growth in the quarter. We have to take this into perspective of the overall market, which is contracting at a significantly higher level than we are. In this regard, there's a couple of highlights to mention here. On the card business, we now have 775,000 credit cards. We're number two in the market. On debit cards, we have over 3.3 million debit cards. And on HCE cards, we have 42,000 cards. So all of these card bases are growing. By way of activity, card activity has grown by 18% year on year and by 4% in the quarter. And that has given driven an increase of on the card line of 9% year on year and 4% quarter on quarter. If I move to customer and other, you can see that our year-on-year number is flat, but in fact we've grown our income in the quarter. FX income is up 6%, so this is where we generate commissions on FX activities with our customers. That's obviously quite a positive perspective. And current account and money transfer is up 4%. On loan and insurance, you can see some contraction. That contraction is driven by two items. In the quarter, primarily, credit fees are lower. Why are they lower? Because we tend to have some seasonality in credit fees, particularly on the corporate side, where at the end of half year and end of year end, so quarter two and quarter three, we tend to receive corporate fees. And secondly, we had lower volume growth in quarter three, which had some impact there. And on the insurance side, while it's flat quarter on quarter, there has been a contraction in insurance income since the introduction of the change, the regulatory change and the approach to group insurance, which has contracted incomes in the last two quarters. So we believe here that we can offset this contraction by the provision of additional products to our customer base and providing added value by way of additional sales in that area. And it's a key focus for us, given our strong and traditional bank assurance offer with Aviva. The next line, capital markets fees, you can see strong growth in the quarter. Here we have growth in brokerage fees, significantly up, growth in asset management income in the quarter, and also growth in advisory income, where we have been involved in a number of large capital markets activities in the quarter. It highlights two things. One is our ability as a strong advisor, a strong partner to the corporate market. And secondly, it highlights the ability for us to utilise the Santander Global brand in order to promote advisory services on a global basis. And this is something we believe will continue. We will outperform in this line by way of advisory activity over the coming quarters and years. And lastly, other. Again, we see strong growth here. The strong growth is driven primarily by trade finance. So we adopted a strategy a year ago to get more serious about trade finance and trade finance activity and to utilise the global positioning of Santander by way of our trade finance offer. And here we can see quite nice growth in income from customers who are exporting. LCs are up 29%. This is letters of credit are up 29% year on year. International factoring up 30% year on year. International guarantees have more than doubled in the year. So our ability to partner with growing Polish companies who want to export into foreign markets has traction. And indeed, we're utilising our Santander, wider Santander group in order to do that. And if you consider possible changes in the banking sector over the next number of quarters, you know, the ability for us to plug in to that type of network, I think will be exceptional versus what could be our competitors in the future, that our ability to plug into that international trade and international exporting activity. And we can discuss that later. If I move on to the next slide, which is slide 17, just to highlight our gross income. Core income is 7% higher year on year, very good performance, and 5% in the quarter. If you look at the next couple of lines, we had minimal gains on the ALM portfolio, at around 4 million in the quarter. We had no visa, we had no dividends. So the impact on the quarter excludes those one-offs that were in previous quarters, yet we performed quite well. And when you strip out one-off gains from top-line income, you can see that our top-line income, like-for-like, has grown by 3% year-on-year. So again, positive performance. And I'd suggest we have momentum on the fee line, which we should see over the coming quarters as well. On expenses, a very tight management of expenses. You can see that staff costs are down 2% in the year, slight movement in the quarter. Administration costs are up year on year, but driven by additional regulatory costs, IT-related costs, and most importantly, the transformation of our business. So we are, in effect, going to pay for the transformation of our business through the operating cost line. So we expect this line to be at a level which is very manageable over coming quarters and years, where we're showing pluses and minuses at low percentage, single-digit levels. So good cost management, and coupled with higher top-line growth, our jaws are widening in a very positive manner. Now, probably the slide that you've most interest in is the loan loss provision slide and credit quality. As I mentioned, the NPL ratio has reduced to 6.8%. We expect to see further reduction in that NPL level in the coming quarters. So I expect it to be 5 point something some way through next year. By way of NPL coverage, 64%. And before I move on to the cost of credit, to give you the Santander Consumer Bank numbers, their coverage rate is 92% on their book, and their NPL ratio is stable at 9.8%. So it hasn't moved in the year, and their coverage has been stable as well. So to talk about the cost of credit in the quarter, our annualised cost of credit is running at 80 basis points. if you take quarter three in its own right, I would want to put this in some kind of picture. So quarters one and two were exceptional for some reasons. The reasons were we had NPL sales, which obviously is a factor which helped the results, together with the fact that in quarters one and two, we didn't have a level of individual provisioning cases that required individual provisioning that are cases that required provisioning. And in those two, the last time that actually happened was 2007. So they were exceptional by way of their run rate, given that in its own right. So in quarter three, we had what would you call a normalised level of individual provision cases. Nothing that would cause any concentration issues, nothing that would cause us any concern. Well spread, but they do on a quarter-on-quarter basis show an incremental move. That's the first element. The second element relates to the fact that we had a release of provisioning for IBNR in the first half of the year, and in the third quarter we had some additional IBNR provisioning. In fact, in BZ Vubica it was 28 million, and you'll see this from the numbers already. What is that? That relates to the fact that our book has grown. And it's, again, nothing that we would have a concern about. It's purely a normal ebb and flow of IBNR. So in BZ Vubica, the situation we would suggest is normalised. If you look at Santander Consumer, where the provision level has gone from 40 million to 70 million, so an increase of 30 million. An element of that relates to a change in a more prudent approach to the recognition of NPLs. So it has no impact with regard to the NPL ratio. It has no impact with regard to the coverage ratio. It's just a slightly more prudent way of reflecting NPLs. It doesn't reflect an increase in the normalised level of Santander Consumer, but on a quarter-on-quarter basis, it looks unusual from that perspective. That's the first element of SCB. The second element relates to the fact that they've also grown their book. So their book has grown by 7% year-on-year, so they have a natural normalised increase in provision levels. If we look forward into quarter four, we would see probably something similar by way of the level of provisioning, maybe slightly lower. And that 80 basis points has been a level that is achievable for the whole year. Okay. So this, as I mentioned, this doesn't indicate any increase in our risk situation. It doesn't indicate any large cases where we have problems or anything of that nature. It's purely the fact that I would suggest the first two quarters were exceptional in their nature, and we're moving to maybe a more normalised level. It would still be our objective next year to move that 80 basis points downwards, but naturally that is subject to conditions in the market and how things operate. But still, positive performance year on year. Just this slide on slide 20 highlights the contribution that our group has made with regard to banking tax. It's 278 million for the first 8 months. It's 105 million roughly per quarter. And as you can see, we've grown our loan book by 10%. So there's a natural increase in that level of banking tax as we move forward. On the bottom left, we just highlight the BFG and regulatory costs, just for your information. And on the right-hand side, we highlight the how the breakdown of NPLs have broken between the bank and SCB. And as mentioned earlier, we had a higher proportion of sales in the first 6 months versus, say, quarter three. So if you just move to the next slide, slide 21, it shows underlying attributable profit plus 6%. Just to be clear, that's excluding one-offs and bank tax. Including bank tax, we're minus 10. Including one-offs and bank tax, we're minus 17%. So we think of the 6% by way of our performance as a business, and we would suggest that that is quite a credible performance. So in summary, I would suggest that the quarter represents a very solid quarter, not influenced by one-offs. So BEAR, by way of its contribution on core income and contribution by way of transaction activity, the increase in NPLs is nothing to be concerned about. And I explained that the annualised level is actually still quite attractive. Our NPL provision year on year is up 2%, but our book has grown by 10%. So it's something that is very manageable. Our NPL level will reduce, and we're demonstrating how it will reduce. If you take it from a strategic perspective, our objective in the following quarters is to continue this investment that we have in commercial transformation and digitisation. And that involves providing our service to customers in what we would describe as an omni-channel basis, i.e. there should be no difference for a customer dealing with the branch, dealing with internet, dealing on mobile, or dealing with our call centre. And in that regard, we have a significant project internally which involves transforming our end-to-end processes so they are less paper-based, less difficult both internally and for the customer, and they improve the customer's experience of our service. because that's what the customer wants when they operate through these different channels. The second element of our strategy is to simplify our offer. So less products at the front end, more value-added products, but less complexity, and a simple service for the customer by way of how they fulfil and complete their transactions with the banks. And in that, with BZ Vubica, and in that regard, key measurements for us: time to yes, time to cash, and the provision of services on what we would say effective digital channels to our customer base. So thank you very much for that, and I'm happy to take any questions you have.
Wysłuchanie tej prezentacji, możemy rozpocząć sesję pytań i odpowiedzi.
No dobrze, to kto pierwszy?
We're waiting for the first question.
Proszę bardzo.
So maybe I'll start, Łukasz Janczak, IPOPEMA Securities. Just one question about the capital ratios. Do you think that this new buffer for other systemic important institutions will be somehow included in the requirements for dividend payment, or only for the minimum requirements for capital ratio?
Okay, so we don't know at the moment, because we're waiting for further clarity from the regulator with respect to dividend payments and requirements. We take a very conservative view in that we believe it will be added on top of existing buffers, and we're managing our capital base in that regard. But we're waiting for further direction from the regulator with respect to that. But our approach is to think about our capital, including that additional buffer.
Kamil Stolarski from Haitong Bank. A couple of questions. First of all, if I could simply confirm the guidance for the cost of risk, because this quarter it was 100 bps, and you keep saying it's normalized level, but year to date is 80 bps.
Yes.
So I wonder what level do you think to be the guidance or the normalized, the 80 bps or the 100 bps?
Okay, well, as hopefully I explained well during the presentation, but moving back to the slide on loan loss provisions, which is slide 19, what the actual quarter one and quarter two were exceptional by way of the fact that they were actually below what we would suggest is our normalised level. Okay, now provisions follow an accounting rules. You know, they follow the, in that regard, you take the provisions as they come. So quarter three does not represent a normalised level. Our normalised level is lower than that. However, I expect a similar level in quarter four, but as we move into next year, it will reduce to normalised levels, which at this moment is 80 basis points. And I suggest for the year looking back, it'll be around 80 basis points. But you have to remember, we are growing our loan book. Banks are in the business of taking risk. And when you take risks, sometimes you lose some money. So in that regard, the key measure is, are we growing our top line net interest margin in order to pay for that additional risk and additional perspective? But 80 basis points is beginning to look like a level that is a benchmark. And the question is, can we get below that?
Okay.
But I'm more than happy that the net interest margin jaws, let's call it, are widening in that regard.
And I looked into the Santander Consumer Bank results for the third quarter, and it seems that they were rather weak, because since the acquisition, since you acquired the control over the bank, this quarter was marked with the lowest fees and commission income and also with the highest cost of risk. And I wonder if there is something extraordinary going on at the Santander Consumer Bank. Do you expect these results to improve looking further, or...
Well, first of all, you have to remember that we purchased the bank at a valuation on net profit of 400 million. You might recall that number. Even taking account of what you're saying, Santander Consumer Bank's net profit for the first three quarters is 370 million. Okay, so around 370 million. So you have to remember that they pay banking tax as well. They have a situation that their level of NPL sales this year has been lower than last year, Okay, and you might recall from what I said that their provision level on their book is at 90%. So NPL sales has some positive, tends to have a positive impact on their results as and when they sell. So in that regard, I have absolutely no concern with regard to their performance. Their net interest income continues to grow. Their net interest margin, I didn't mention it, but it was up 20 basis points in the quarter, up 50 basis points year on year. And their provision charge-off for the quarter has resulted actually in a more prudent approach with regard to how they recognise NPLs. So in fact, we're providing a better position with regard to that business. So I still have no issues with regard to, or no concerns with regard to their performance. Their strategy is executed extremely well, and they're still number one in the market by a distance.
Okay, thank you. And two last questions, because consulting fees went up, doubled during the quarter. It was 20 million.
Yes.
And I wonder if there's some large project going on, or are you involved
in
something?
Well, there is, because I mentioned that we have a digitization project or a commercial transformation project, which involves the use of some external consultancy support with regard to the projects. We have a range of different strategic projects going on in the bank, many, many projects, and we have engaged some external help in that. And indeed, as I mentioned on slide 18, that we intend to pay for that transformation in the cost base, i.e. not to increase our costs incrementally as we make that transformation.
Last one, if I may, on the high fees paid to external distribution of loan products, because it seems that you have like 19 million this quarter versus more or less 10 million.
I didn't catch the first piece.
The cost of external distribution of loans that you pay to intermediaries.
Okay, so this is primarily an SCB, Santander Consumer Bank, where they actually made a provision in quarter three with respect to the payment of agents who sell their credit products. If you recall from previous years, it typically happens in quarter four. So they've made a provision in quarter three. This is actually a positive. It might seem like a negative, but it's actually a positive. The reason why we're paying commissions is because these agents are performing. They're actually selling the product. They're distributing the product. And that's the only reason why they actually receive those commissions. So it's more of a timing perspective in the recognition of those. But in fact, I see that as being, in the quarter, having some impact, but on an annual basis, being a positive situation. Great, thank you.
Any more questions? If you do not have any more questions, I will read questions we got over the internet and we'll try to answer them.
Question one. After another strong performance in reducing the cost of funding in Q3, is there any more you can do of interest you can do if interest rates remain stable? What was the main achievement in this respect in Q3? Should we expect further shrinkage in the corporate loan portfolio in Q4? Is the 500-plus program proving to be relevant for unsecured consumer lending? And the last question is, are you planning to consider mortgage unit and start issuing covered bonds following Pekao BP success? What are key measures you consider to offset bank tax effect in 2017? Any comments on dividends given plans to increase risk weights and additional capital buffers?
Okay. So six questions. Normally when you're asked six questions, you forget the first five. But I've written them down, so we're okay. So with regard to interest cost, obviously it's quite difficult in a flat interest rate environment and in the low interest rate environment that we have. Primarily, and as I outlined on the slide, which was the mix in our deposit base, which was slide 14, primarily the benefit here is coming from the customer moving. As I mentioned, we can't force customers to move to current accounts and savings accounts. This is something they're doing by way of the attractiveness of our offer. There is a lower cost to those offers because of the fact that we give the customer access to their funds every day So you can see that we currently have less than 50% of our deposits in time deposits, and if that continues to reduce and move to demand and savings, we will get savings on funding costs. But other than that, it's difficult to see any material benefit on the liability side going forward. We'll continue to manage our book. But if we want to grow our loan book and we want to attract funding, it's difficult. If we were contracting our loan book, it would be a different situation. But we want to grow. Okay? And in that regard, we also have to build the liability side of our bank. By way of the shrinkage question, sorry, what? Okay, the corporate loan book. The corporate loan book shrunk slightly in quarter three. Primarily, that was in the property book. Primarily, this related to deals that were maturing, i.e. where they'd come to their natural maturity and the investors or the underlying owners were taking decisions around refinancing or selling their property. Do I expect further shrinkage? I don't. But I don't expect a lot of growth here either in this side of our book. And you can see that, you know, on the retail commercial or retail SME side of our book, it's actually growing quite nicely. So we'll wait and see, but I don't expect shrinkage. But obviously that's a customer perspective rather than something we can control. By way of unsecured consumer lending, and the impact of the 500 plus scheme, we don't see a direct impact. There's anecdotal evidence of, you know, customers buying more second-hand cars, but that's anecdotal, let's call it. You can see that our consumer business is still growing at about the same level as it did last year, around 7-8%. So in that regard, we directly don't see any particular impact there. Obviously, next year there'll be more funds distributed than there are this year. But in fact, we see it as some way supportive of consumer lending, but it's around the edges. The next three questions. Are we planning to consider a mortgage unit and start issuing covered bonds? We have been considering a mortgage unit for the past number of years. Opening a mortgage bank is actually quite a significant ordeal because you actually have to open physically another bank with a separate management team, a separate IT infrastructure, a separate balance sheet structure, and you know, it's quite an ordeal. What we see here is that the transformation of our own business will link very nicely to a mortgage bank, i.e. as we transfer our own business, it'll become easier for us to consider a mortgage bank within the overall situation. And it is part of our plans, and I'd suggest they're medium-term plans. So over the next 1, 2, 3 years, we will be adopting that. And I'd like to note that PQO has been successful in their issuance, so I think it was quite a positive issuance for the overall sector itself. By way of key measures you consider to offset the bank tax effect in 2017, well, the key measures are actually the numbers. If you look at the performance of our book by way of our growth and net interest income, okay, fees are contracted slightly, but we're better than the market. Our costs are managed on a relatively flat basis, and our cost of risk has reduced given the increase in our book. So in that regard, the banking tax is just another part of our P&L, and it's not that it will be directly managed. We will just continue to grow our book and grow our business commercially and work towards ensuring that our return on equity, our profitability, our key measures are as good, if not better, than our competitors. That's our key, our promise to the market. And lastly, with regard to dividends, you know, we await the direction of the regulator with regard to dividend payments in with regard to 2016 profits. We believe, given our strong capital position and our ability to grow capital, that we may be able to pay dividends, but it depends on the regulations issued by the KNF. And it is our policy to pay dividends, and we have done so 12 out of the last 14 years. So in that regard, we'll wait and see. We've strong capital generation, and we'll wait and see what the rules are. But they would be the first question we always ask in February is, can we pay a dividend? And we start from that question and work towards the finalisation at the AGM.
Are there any other questions? If there are no any, then thank you very much, and let's have the offline meeting.